Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You're listening to I Am the Community. I'm Vicki Pepper. It's National Suicide Prevention Awareness Month, and here to help address this important issue that doesn't often get talked about is Dr. Veronica Kelly of the San Bernardino County Department of Behavioral Health. Thank you for joining me today, Dr. Kelly.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Suicide is a taboo topic, and there's this myth that if you talk about it, people will do it. Is that correct?
That is incorrect. What research actually shows is that people who are considering suicide, if they're able to talk about it with someone who's asking from a caring place, that they feel immense relief. And that can be used to help them stay safe and stay alive.
What are some of the factors that might put someone at risk for suicide?
We could talk about physiological. So certainly folks who are living with depression or mental illness have a higher risk for completing a suicide. People who've experienced recent loss certainly have a higher risk for completing a suicide. But there are a lot of warning signs. Suicide happens to every group of people in the world. There's no one group of people that is exempt from its negative impact. So if we're talking about warning signs, so how we can tell if someone is really contemplating suicide, changes in behavior. That's a big one. And really, a lot of people who are contemplating suicide will tell you that they're thinking about killing themselves. They might talk also about being a burden, about feeling unbearable pain, or feeling trapped. There might also be an increase in alcohol or drug use. You might see folks who are online that there are online searches for suicide, how to complete suicides. We often see withdrawal and isolation, changes in sleep patterns, either sleeping too much or too little. And then the more significant ones that we can see a lot easier are that there might be visits to people that a person hasn't seen in a very long time to say goodbye. They'll actually use those words to say goodbye. And they might also give away items that they've cherished. So those are all pretty good indicators that someone might be considering suicide.
And are suicidal people always depressed?
Not always. It is in some ways depressing to think about ending your life. Sometimes it is the response to a situation where that is the only coping skill that a person might have. That does not mean they have to have a diagnosis of clinical depression. But those are the symptoms I just talked about are all symptoms also of a major depression.
You mentioned briefly alcohol. Can you elaborate a little bit more on what role alcohol might play in being a warning sign of suicide?
So people who are living with an addiction, and this is September is National Recovery from Addiction Awareness Month, so Happy Recovery Month. But folks who are living with an addiction really are at a place where they feel depending on where they are in their addiction, but where they feel trapped. But if they don't use, they'll be very, very sick. And so their brains are very activated to finding their substance, to cravings, because addiction is impacting the part of the brain where rewards and motivation live. It is very difficult to get out of that part of the brain. And so sometimes we see folks with substance use disorder that there might be a death that results from an overdose that might not be intentional, but also they have access to substances that can initiate a death. And so we do see that people who are living with addiction are at a higher risk for suicide.
And say that you're concerned about someone, what's the best way to start the conversation?
So the best way to start the conversation is to start the conversation, to ask. And so the really important thing to know is we got to be really clear. So if you are thinking or concerned about someone who you think might be contemplating suicide, ask the question, are you thinking of killing yourself? Don't ask the question, you aren't thinking of hurting yourself, are you? Or you aren't thinking of doing something stupid, are you? Because that's certainly not going to open the conversation. So starting the conversation, just ask the question. And then when you get the answer, listen. The one thing that folks who are experiencing suicidal ideation talk about is they're afraid to say this terrible thing because it just proves their own thoughts right, that something is wrong with them. And so being non-judgmental when you ask the question is really important. And we do that by just listening, that we refrain from saying things like, oh, that's so stupid, you have a lot to live for. What that does is tell the person that you are judgmental, you are judging them, and that's because they deserve to be judged, that they are not at a really good place. So asking the question very clearly, listening to them, certainly you can offer support verbally by saying, I care about you, I love you, that sort of thing. And then as well, that you don't leave someone who's just told you they want to complete a suicide or kill themselves, that you don't leave them alone, that you use your phone and call other family members or friends, or you can talk the suicidal person into possibly speaking with their physician if you could go with them, or talking to a mental health professional, but you don't leave them alone, and assist in helping get them resources so that you can reach out, call a suicide hotline, call a suicide warm line, reach out because there is help available.
And say you start the conversation and the person reacts defensively. How do you respond to that?
So starting the conversation, you just come back to it as well. Don't leave. Don't be upset with them and shout at them, because really what they're doing is they're testing to see if they can get you to confirm what they believe about themselves, that they are hopeless, that they are helpless, that they don't deserve to live. And so just sticking around. Most of us are thick-skinned at some points, so that's really important to remember. Someone who is experiencing suicidal ideation might push back. And then if we just stay the course, we can help them get the resources they need.
And is there anything else that you shouldn't say to someone who has expressed suicidal thoughts?
Well, I think, that's stupid, or even maybe you should kill yourself. We would all be better off, those sort of things. Sometimes folks think that reverse psychology, as they call it, is effective, and it's not. So being supportive, again, knowing the signs, finding the words to support someone, being able to reach out, knowing that there are resources available, and understanding that prevention works. That the more we talk about this topic, the fact that we're even just having the conversation now, one person could hear this conversation and it could actually save their lives.
I'm speaking with Dr. Veronica Kelly of the San Bernardino County Department of Behavioral Health about suicide prevention. Dr. Kelly, suicide touches the whole community, and research has shown that each person who dies by suicide leaves behind 135 people to the bereavement that follows.
Right. That is an exorbitant amount of people that are touched by suicide. And it's very impactful in that when one experiences a loss due to a death, as we all do, it's hard to deal with that. But when you experience a loss due to suicide, it's more complex. So we know that it's often not expected, so it's often unexpected. Oftentimes, it can be violent. And whereas if someone were hit by a car and they died, you would at least have someone to direct your grief towards, right? You would, and your anger towards, your feelings towards. So the person who hit them, you would be able to direct your anger there. If someone died of cancer, you would be able to direct your anger towards cancer and get involved in advocacy or raising money for cancer awareness. But when the person who dies does so with their own hands, we're left with questions because all of the answers die with that person. And so our grief tends to be a little bit more complicated. It takes a little bit longer because, as is human nature, we are always questioning. did I miss something? Is there something else I could have done? And that can last for decades. So really important that we understand all of the nuances involved with someone who completes a suicide, that it is preventable, that there are signs, that there are things we can do to intervene. Those are the things that can help get us through if somebody we know has taken their life via suicide.
What can you say to someone who has lost a loved one to suicide? Like, how can we let them know that we care?
Again, as we stated about starting the conversation, that's how we do it. And not everyone wants to talk about their feelings, and that's okay. So sometimes it's all right just to sit with someone in silence. That's difficult for most human beings because we're very social and we might find silence uncomfortable. But being with someone, that way they know that there is someone there. And also to be able to provide resources, whether those resources are via the National Alliance for the Mentally Ill, NAMI, has a number of resources available. And then there are a number of hotlines or warm lines you can call just to leave your own issues or your own concerns about your friend or colleague, and certainly sharing those numbers with that person would be very, very helpful.
And what are some of those hotline numbers? You also mentioned NAMI. Can you give us that website as well?
Sure. I think it's NAMI.org. And then we have our local hotline that's 800-273-8255 or 273-TALK, T-A-L-K. There's a line that's available in Spanish, and that number is 888-628-9554. We have a line for our deaf and hard of hearing population who are also are at a higher risk because of isolation from community, and that's 800-799-4891. And then we have the Trevor hotline for our LGBTQ folks who also have a higher risk of suicide. And that number is 866-488-7386. And a veterans number. Vets are experiencing suicide at an alarming rate as well. And they are dealing with different issues than the civilian population. And so their hotline number is 800-273-8255. Or you can text for them at 838255.
Another demographic that we often hear about committing suicide, which is really heartbreaking, even more so, is when young kids commit suicide. What are some warning signs that your child is having these thoughts?
The very same warning signs that we see with adults. So if you suspect that something is happening with your child, it is really important to get them care. You can get them care through your pediatrician, or you can contact the county or your health insurance to get mental health care. And it's very important to state that you are worried your child is contemplating suicide so that the proper attention is focused on them. We know that in this county, we have about a little bit under the state average for completed suicides for all ages, and that's about 10 out of every 100,000 people complete a suicide. But any suicide is too many suicides. So just being vigilant, children do attempt suicide. They have completed suicides as well. Just being very focused on changes in their behavior. If they start talking to you about, I want to kill myself, that's a serious thing. Sometimes parents say, oh, you know, they're just being dramatic. And we would rather be safe than sorry in this instance in particular. So if a child is mentioning anything about ending their life, immediately reach out for help. Again, pediatrician is a good place to start, and utilizing the number on the back of one's insurance card, there's a place, a number there for mental health services, or the county has services that are available as well.
Say your child comes to you and says, my friend has been talking about suicide. What should a parent do in that situation?
So you never want to keep something secret if someone tells you that. So again, better to be safe than sorry. Reach out to the child, reach out to their caregiver, to their parents, and have that conversation. And we know that a lot of youth as well, they hear the information from their friends, and their friends say, don't tell anybody. And so what we tell youth is never keep secret something such as that. If someone tells you, please don't tell anybody, it's too important. And so we have to reach out to parent, caregiver, and in instances where that might not be possible, that things are happening far quicker, 911 is always an appropriate call.
I've been speaking with Dr. Veronica Kelly of the San Bernardino County Department of Behavioral Health about suicide prevention. Thank you so much for talking with me today, Dr. Kelly. This is such an important topic.
Thank you very much for the opportunity.